shall we begin?
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Howdy! Welcome in. It is Josh, and it is LZ. How are you, Lance?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Very good.
Back on the radio? Are you going to spit fire at people? I heard you were taking... It was a massive takedown on your podcast.
Well, and
when
that,
you were finally able to podcast.
Correct. I had to wait 6 months, because if I would have said anything bad in that 6 months, maybe I could have lost my severance, and my wife would have killed me, and my dog would have killed me, because he couldn't have had his overly expensive... I mean, really quick, before we get into anything, speaking of dogs, right? So my dog, his name is Luther, and I've had him for 7 years. He's named Luther Van Damme. He's named after the Jerry Van Dyke character in Coach, which is one of my favorite shows ever, Craig T. Nelson. So we named Luther, Luther Van Damme. So my dog for the last couple of weeks really wouldn't eat a lot. I know he's not sick. He's been to the vet. And I think he's a spiteful animal. And by that I mean if we don't take him for long walks every day, he won't eat. And it doesn't faze me because I can handle it and I can deal with it. And if he doesn't eat, I know he eventually will because he's a dog and he'll have to eat. My wife, and by the way, since we last spoke, I got married back in May in Vegas. So
thank you all. Yeah.
I got married and
congrats.
I'm a married man now. But my dog... Luther, Jilly gets overly concerned about Luther. She's convinced that when Luther doesn't eat right away, that he is dying. She goes to like dog WebMD, and she's so concerned.
Is that a real thing?
I don't know. It might be. She's one of these people that Googles it. She's I can't handle the level of Google sometimes. Where like Luther had a little bump under his skin, which just felt like a little fatty thing. And I was convinced it was nothing for months. Oh, we got to take him to the vet. We take him to the vet. As it turns out, it's nothing, the vet says, and that's just another $300 I had to spend at the vet to worry about these things. So with Luther, we keep trying different foods because Jilly doesn't understand at times. Hey, the dog's going to eat. He's going to eat at some point. Just let him go. So we buy the expensive food. Mm-hmm. He doesn't feel like eating it. We buy the cheap food. He doesn't eat that. We've gotten to the point where Jilly has now gone to Purina's website and ordered what is called Luther's blend, and she had her own food made for Luther to see if he'll eat that. And I don't have a job, mind you. Mind you, your boy here, for the first time in his life, might start collecting that unemployment until I find a gig, you know, because I'm not making that $790 money anymore. So I'm going to say, hey, you know what? I don't mind getting a little unemployment waiting for the next gig, if we're being honest with people, right? You can say, hey, I'll see what happens. But if, as my old boss Andy told me, it's your money anyway. Like, to me, when I heard unemployment, I thought, like, welfare. Like, I thought, I'm not going to take the welfare money. No, it's unemployment. It's your money anyway. So go take it. So I said, okay. I'll do that. I don't feel as bad. But like, daddy ain't making that cheddar anymore. You know what I'm saying? Daddy ain't making that, you know, that big time buku money.
I don't know how much unemployment is going to pay, but does it typically finance a dog's customized diet of dog food?
It probably doesn't for most people, but in our house, it's going to have to. So we have a customized diet.
What are you going to cut out? TV?
No, well, here's the thing, though, and I'm glad you asked, because I was talking to my financial advisor.
All streaming services are gone now?
By the way, my life, like, this sentence is going to start out like the beginning of a 30 for 30 that ends with a guy, like, giving his buddy money to open up gas stations that ends up broke. Like, I'm Andre Rison. It's like a 30 for 30. But my best friend in high school, he is my financial advisor.
Yeah.
His name is Martin.
That is immediately, it sounds concerned.
It does. It's one step below, hey, my uncle is my agent. It's somewhere right in that. So my buddy, he's like, Josh, you know, now that you're not getting checks every 2 weeks, you're going to have to start cutting back a little bit on certain things. Most notably, your gambling online is probably going to have to stop. So that's where I've cut back. For the last 2 weeks, I haven't lost money gambling online on Bovada.
Yeah, I mean, that's one area you could cut back, or you could just say I would do something, you know, you could cut something else. You don't have to cut the gambling.
Well, I didn't have to go to the Galleria today to have the Asians rub my feet like I used to when I was rolling in it. But I'm right here, stations next to the Galleria. So why not? I got my feet rubbed today. Why not? I think I'm entitled to that. I've earned it with my 8 months of unemployment. I've earned that. Now, that's without a job for 8 months. I'm not even officially on unemployment yet. And it just feels embarrassing to say that. Like it's not a bad thing. It's not like I'm on welfare. It's not like, you know, I'm on food stamps. I'm not, you know, like begging people for money. I've got some money saved up. I'm not doing terrible. But what I'm saying is it feels awkward to say, hi, I'm Josh Ennis, and I'm on unemployment, and I haven't had a radio job in 8 months. That's the longest I've gone without having a radio job since I was 15 years old. So it's kind of an odd thing. And I'll be honest with you, Lance, and you and I have worked together before. We were at 790 together for a little bit. Like, I'm a little nervous, if I'm going to be honest with you.
You're a little nervous?
I'm a little nervous being on the radio again.
What?
I know. It's bizarre. What are you
nervous about?
I just haven't done it in a while. You wonder, hey, can I still spit that fire that keeps the people going? And we're on FM radio. When we were on 790, I mean, we knew nobody was listening. But here, people might actually be listening. Like, there's some guy with a transistor radio that's over there like, I can't wait to hear the Josh Ennis show. Like, this is the first time I've been on the radio since Philadelphia where
this isn't the sound that you hear through your radio. You know what I'm saying? Where I sound like a caller right now.
Like, it's the first time I've done that. And I feel, I got a rush. I got a charge. It's something new for me. I'm so excited to be back on the radio again.
Immediately on Twitter.
Oh, I don't even need to know that. That's
Lance,
gonna be bad.
Does your co-host know he doesn't have to scream at the mic, but you're excited?
Well, this is just how I talk. Is it nervous excitement?
It is, but this is how I get.
I'm a loud person. I've always been a loud person. And I am more than just Lance's co-host. I am Josh, and I once did something here.
I would follow Josh to hell. That's a good one, right?
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I hope hell has somebody. White claw. If hell has white claw, send me to hell.
Didn't Josh get into it with Seth Payne from 610 on Radio Row?
So that did happen. So that's all people know me for
now. You're known as that. Is that now?
Yeah, that's me. I'm the guy that got into it with Seth Payne on Radio Row. But see, here's the thing I didn't like about that. Like, people kind of turned me into this evil villain because that happened. Nobody gave me credit for going face to face with this big hulking football player who could have slugged me in my teeth, and I would have been done. Like, nobody did that. So, like, I get that you can think I'm a dope or you can think I'm a moron or not like what I do. I'm totally cool with that. I understand it. I'm all about it. But you have to give me some level of credit when a guy who played offensive line in the NFL.
Defensive line. Yeah,
nose I was tackle. Thinking about his boy, Ross Tucker. They're boys, right?
Yeah.
Ross Tucker was the offensive line from the Ivy League. He is the defensive line from. Did Ross go to the Ivy League? Did he go to Cornell?
Yeah, he was an Ivy League.
So they're both smart dudes, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the reason Ross was on my mind is after that happened at Radio Row, I sit down to interview Ross Tucker, and he goes, did you guys hear that there was almost a fight on Radio Row between two radio hosts? And I go, well, friend, I guess you found it, because that's me. But nobody ever gives me credit for just standing there. Because in my mind, he's going to punch me in the face, but it's for the bit, and I just got to kind of go with it.
Hold on a second. Since we're just going to lay it all out here in the first segment, and the Texans won yesterday.
Yeah, and I get that, and we will talk. We got 3 hours to do that.
Yes, we got some time. But let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
So also, I heard that there was also an incident at a hotel or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Where Braddock got pretty mad that he was at suit. Did you feel bad? All right, now I'm going to ask a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Did you feel badly that the whole station got kicked off Radio Row?
No, and I'll tell you why.
Why did you not feel bad?
Because if you listen to the Josh Ennis Show podcast, which you can find on iTunes and Spreaker and Spotify and Google Play Music, the first episode was about this. I feel bad that those guys got kicked out. But in reality, it wasn't my fault, and I'll explain, because it truly wasn't. And I think this is a misperception that people have about this, and I think people should know it, and I discussed it on the podcast. The reason that we were kicked out of Radio Row mm-hmm. was because our radio station didn't have the right to be there, and I'll explain. We went last minute because Mattress Mac, who's a wonderful dude, I love the guy, he wanted to send us to Radio Row. We weren't credentialed, nor did we have tables yet, and this is just a couple of weeks before the Super Bowl. Mac wanted to send some Hurricane Harvey survivor/heroes to the Super Bowl, so he bought us all tickets. We all got to go to the Super Bowl, all that, and we got to go with listeners. Well, the Radio Row thing happened, which, A, was nothing different other than the fact that somebody got mad and wanted to fight. It was actually no different than anything I had done the previous year when I was at 790, where we had Jim. You remember that? You were still there. Jim was in the Assweiler garbage can, and he was all over the BBC and all over. He was the top story on ESPN that night on SportsCenter. So it was awesome, and people loved it. And they said, guys, you guys are great messing around with people, walking around with a microphone. That's great. The difference is somebody got mad this time and wanted to fight, and two, we were not technically credentialed to be there. So after it happened, I'm sitting at our table, and one of these head guys from the NFL comes over, one of the media guys, and says, if you get up from your table again, we will kick you guys out. And I said, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to get up again. We've gotten the attention from that. It is what it is. We'll go. So about an hour later, I get a call, or I forget how exactly it all went down, and I found out that we all got kicked out. Well, the reason we got kicked out is because they found out that we were sharing a table with another radio station because we weren't supposed to be there. So they kicked us out because of that, not because of the incident that happened on Radio Row, because if you know, Seth didn't get kicked out for
it. But you have to be credentialed to even get onto Radio
Row. Correct. You're credentialed to be in, but you also have to be assigned a table to broadcast your radio show, which we didn't have because we were at times kind of behind the eight ball or a little behind everything else. Let's put it that way. So because of the fact that that happened, we got kicked out. Now, I guess I brought attention to us being there, but I was doing nothing different than I had done there before, which is walk around, make people laugh. Like, I'm fairly certain you remember that from the year before, right? Where Jim was out there dressed as Ditka and doing all this dumb stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And nobody cared, and they all loved it. What happened was, is there were a lot of people on the staff that are still on the radio that didn't like me. So, and the radio station never stepped up at any point and said, hey, Josh, I don't know. We should probably tell the rest of the staff that we messed up and it's not your mess up. They didn't do that. They just let the rest of the staff kind of crush me and go on the air and make it sound like I was some evil person that ruined the radio station.
To be fair, if you hadn't got into it with Seth, you would have flown under the radar.
Correct. But to be fair, Seth told Jim to leave. Jim was just walking around with a microphone talking to people. And they said, get out of here, Jim. And Jim walked away. He was coming back to our table. What happened after that was Seth stood up and said, hey, Jim, get over here. First of all, you've really let yourself go. You're fat. Where's Josh? Where's that bitch at? And he stepped up and started pointing at me. I'm a radio guy. So what's the radio guy going to do in that situation? Sit back and just have some Neanderthal, in this instance, yelling across the room like, this guy's a bitch, and just sit there. I lose if I just sit there, and I lose to a degree if I get up. But if I get up, I think maybe it becomes a bit, and maybe it gets some attention. And it did become a bit, and it did gain attention. And after that, that is when our ratings just shot up on 790. Unfortunately, I guess the people at the radio station weren't big fans of the ratings shooting up at 790. I think they're allergic to them in some way. I think like they have an allergic reaction to positive ratings. So they said no. They didn't like it, and they wouldn't promote me really after that. And listen, I have nothing against them as people. I just think there was a lack of support at times on things like that. But to your initial question, do you feel bad? It's kind of loaded in a sense because I wasn't the reason why it happened. And the next year we went back to Atlanta for the Radio Row. And they told my show, they told Jim that the NFL said you're not allowed to broadcast on Radio Row, just your show. So we're stressed out trying to find a place to broadcast from, and we're broadcasting from a pancake house in Atlanta for the
Super Bowl. This is the second one you weren't able to – you guys weren't allowed?
Well, we were – the Minneapolis one – and one more thing about the Minneapolis one, and I know I've gone long here, but one more thing about this.
I can tell you've been doing podcasts. You didn't know what breaks look like anymore.
I get that, okay?
But see what I did, Todd? I got the breaks.
I don't need your format.
We're fluid here, okay? We're fluid.
I'm rolling here, okay? So here's what actually – another thing that bothered me is Mattress Mack got us all like 50-yard line seats to the Super Bowl. Everybody. Oh. Me, we were in a suite under the stadium. Everything was free. We were at the Super Bowl. But the way the story was, oh, poor radio guys had to do a show at a bar for 2 days. What they left out is that all those poor radio guys got a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to still go to the Super Bowl.
We were like, oh, they got pancake syrup all over their microphones now. Oh, it was – It was easy. But you're easy to take shots at.
Sure, no, but here's the thing. But again, the people at our own station played this pity party when they all, at the Super Bowl in Minneapolis, got to go to the Super Bowl, sit in like 50-yard line lower bowl seats. It was the Super Bowl with the Eagles and the Patriots.
Yep.
And they got to live this great life. But they all played this kind of sympathetic character. Like, oh my God, can you believe what this guy did? Listen, it wasn't meant to go that way. It did. I get it. We can talk about a bunch of stuff today. I'm just excited to be on the radio, and I'm glad to be here with you.
Do a tease. See if you know how to do teases still.
Coming up, can the Texans be the representative from the AFC? We'll talk about it. Stay there.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Well, kind of. Josh Ennis, Lance Zierlein, are they back yet or are they flying back today?
I don't know. Tyler, you'd know better than I would.
I think they're in transit right now.
Yeah.
Have you guys been to London?
Tomorrow. I've never been.
Me neither. I don't want to go, and I don't want football games in London. Why do the London people need football games, and why should I have to get up at 8:30 in the morning to watch the Texans play?
You know what? And I mean this. So yesterday was not a good football game from a general standpoint, but it was good if you were a Texan fan.
Mm-hmm.
But I really realized at some point all of the games that are in London that I watch, they all feel kind of like there's an antiseptic feel to them. And it's really because there's not enough people with a passionate feel for any of the teams that are there to make enough noise. When something big happened with the Texans, I'm used to an ambient level of noise.
Sure.
Even coming through the television, and you don't get them for those games.
No, and you also get bad matchups too. Like the Jaguars are a fraud. I think we can agree with that.
Well, it's starting to feel like it.
They're a fraud, and Minshew is a fraud. Minshew mania is dead. Here's a question for you: as far as Minshew mania goes, can we say that it's officially dead? Right? Would we go with that? Was yesterday the death
official?
Of Minshew mania?
Okay, so the numbers look pretty good. 13-4, right? 13
okay.
touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
Yeah.
And if
the
you
thing
look
is, they all happened yesterday. The negative all was yesterday.
Yeah. Now on the heels of yesterday, what I've noticed is everyone is killing him like it's over, but it's not like he had this terrible run up. But if you go back and look at how he's actually played, he's had 2 of his last 4 games. He's been sub 50% completion percentage.
Yeah.
Like the numbers are a little bit, they're not, like, he gets them in bunches. He's had some games that have not been great.
Let me ask you this. More impressive, Minshew mania or Linsanity?
Oh, Linsanity was insane.
Minshew mania or Tebow mania? That's easy. That's Tebow mania, right?
Well, Tebow mania.
Tebow won a playoff game.
Well, Tebow mania, yeah, no, it's Tebow mania. That's true. Minshew was just had this uncle, you know, the Uncle Rico thing going on or whatever he had. I mean,
Tebow got the Bible Belt involved.
Well, they're an impassioned bunch. Like, nobody's really passionate about Minshew one way or the other. You know, he's like his college coach. He's kind of quirky, and there are moments when the world's
He's quirky and fun. The question is going to be, can he become a real quarterback?
No. I think they should go back to Foles. They're not out of it yet. The AFC is still, you know, I mean,
no, they're not out of it at all.
So I would, you paid Foles, go back to Foles.
I think that's going to be a tough, I don't think it's a tough decision because you paid Foles. And I think they also know they've showcased Minshew, so if Foles plays well, they could flip Minshew into a draft pick,
mm-hmm.
potentially, because they've shown enough that I think people have
after
interest
yesterday,
in him.
I mean, it's going to be tougher.
You're not ending on a very good note.
And
but
to your point about the game and why it's not exciting, that game yesterday, I never felt the Texans were going to lose. Like, there was no point where I was Texans
it's
are going to lose.
And fact,
that matters. Like, you have to feel like, okay, maybe the Jags could do something.
Okay.
They were inept.
But but if you had the filter of a hardcore Texans fan, which you're not, I wouldn't call you a hardcore Texans fan. But if you had the filter of a hardcore Texans fan, wouldn't you be excited about how your team made Minshew and that offense look completely irrelevant?
With like what you were missing,
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what makes it impressive. With what you were missing, I was shocked. I thought Minshew and the offense were going to be able to really put some – I thought that might turn into a little bit of a shootout. It was the exact opposite.
And I also think what matters is they did it in a situation that's not ideal. You go across the pond, as it were, and you have to play in a game in London, and your body clock is off. Like, you look at the Eagles. The last 2 weeks, the Eagles have wins over the Bears, who are abysmal, right? Like, Trubisky sucks. I think that's fair to say. He's awful. Their last two wins were against the Bills in the AFC, who you and I both think are pretty fraudulent with their quarterback. And then the Eagles also beat the Bears. So they held them to 9 yards in the first half yesterday. I look at that and go, well, you're at home. Trubisky's been a nightmare. Did you see what the Saints did to him for 3.5 quarters? Like, he stinks. That game I don't look at and go, whoa, look out, the Eagles are back. But because the Texans had to make a road trip to London, its body clock is off. You got a one-eyed quarterback at this point. Your defense is beat up. I think that it becomes a more impressive win because of all the factors. Now, just beating Jacksonville the way they beat them isn't impressive. The factors around it, I think, make it more impressive.
That's fair. Let's get Corey in here real quick. Corey wants to talk about London fans. What's up, Corey? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
How you doing?
So you said that the game had almost an antiseptic feel to it,
yeah.
And I agree. Because when the Texans were just running up the score a little bit, there wasn't a lot of noise. There wasn't a lot of like cheering. But if you look, especially at the beginning of the game, where they're not showing a lot of the crowd, where they're doing the NFL like pregame show, you see people walking in, and almost one in every three people is wearing a jersey. But one guy's got a Saints jersey, one's got a Brady jersey.
It's all over the place.
One's over here wearing a Watt jersey, and there's so many. They're fans of football. But there's not enough following of singular teams to make the cheering competitive and have that like home field
correct
away team advantage.
Correct.
So that, I think it does kind of come across as antiseptic, like you said, or sterile.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just that they don't.
But the game itself sucked too. You know what I'm saying?
It wasn't a competitive.
Like if it were a back and forth.
But every game there, though, Josh, is like that. Like I never feel excited, and sometimes what you say is probably true as well. You aren't getting the best matches,
and they don't want to be there. Like, do you think any NFL player wants to get on a plane and go play a game in London? Like, I don't. Now, it might be cool to be there for a day or two, see London, go get hammered in a pub, maybe a place where they're very flippant with their language. Like, I think I'd fit in London. I was talking with somebody about that the other day. Like, with the liberal use of the C word in London, I feel like I would just crush in London. Like, they don't care. They're flippant with the language, and they're kind of more liberal sexually there. Yeah. London, and they get hammered. Like, London is, like, the perfect place, and the weather,
I thought it's supposed to be much more uptight.
No, I don't think that's true. I mean, I'm looking around for anybody else in the room, like, has anybody been to London? But I think that the English are a more, now, certain areas, like, if you're going to Parliament, I would imagine they're a little uptight.
Yeah.
But you get some soccer hooligans at a bar, you're getting your buzz on, you're flippantly saying derogatory terms. Like, it seems like a place that would be fun, and it rains, and it's cold all the time. It's my kind of place. I want to go. I love rain. I love dreary.
I do.
Sky. Today is a great day for me. I love dreary.
I
sky.
I plan on getting over to London.
Let's go
by
right
next
now.
Year.
Let's just hop on a bird right now. We'll go see the next London game. When do the Jaguars play there again? They're there all the time.
That's gonna
be a lot of fun. All right, that's so let's do this just to help everybody out and get back on time here. If you want to get in, what's the number, by the way?
713-780-3776.
I should have looked at the TV. I didn't even notice that TV screen up there has the call screen
that's
on it.
It.
I'm learning this. I'm new. Cut me some slack. I'm new. We have a lot to get into. We still haven't gotten into the AFC, and I do. And it's shocking to say, but I think the Texans have as good a shot as anybody
in the AFC. Completely.
Correct. Absolutely. Right. There's that. People talking about the Astros and who they'll go out and get. You are high if you think that they're going to go out and spend money on either Cole or Strasburg. We'll get into that. There's a ton to do today. I'm excited to be on the radio. It's my first time ever. Stay there.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Well, close enough. Josh and Lance, welcome in. So last night, I think it's fair to say that with the way the Patriots got worked early and worked late, it showed two things. One, that maybe Lamar Jackson's legit. And number two, it showed the AFC, at least in the top five or six teams, is wide open. And you've got a 6-3 football team here. You've got the Colts. And what's the latest on Brissett? What do they think with him?
Maybe next week. Could be 2 weeks from what I hear.
So is he going to play? That's 2 weeks until they play. Sprained. No, sorry, that's 3 weeks until they play.
He should be here for that.
Yeah. And he's had some throws this year that are stupid. That throw against Denver out of the end zone, sidelined, T.Y. was stupid.
He's got some arm talent.
He's great. At least with the arm, you're right. And I like Frank Reich. Like, I think that's a good, solid team. Mm-hmm. But they're still in it, even though they took the L. They're still in that running for a top two. But right now, realistically, you're talking Ravens. You're talking Patriots. You're talking Chiefs among those. And you've already beaten the Chiefs. And you've got your shot now to face both Tom Brady and Lamar Jackson. Really, I can't wait for the Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun.
It's going
to
be huge.
Deshaun's a better quarterback to me. They built an offense for him in Baltimore. I'm talking about Jackson. I can't wait for that. Lamar, and they are realistically in it.
I feel like Lamar's going to end up being the splashier topic. Talked about that week. So that week, the build-up to Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson is going to be really big nationally. It'll be the biggest headline story of the week. But I feel like right now, nationally, there's more buzz around the splashier playmaker in Lamar Jackson. And you're right. The guy who I think realistically, Lamar Jackson's going to get a lot of talk about MVP
mm-hmm.
just recently. Russell Wilson might be the leader in the clubhouse right now from a statistical standpoint. I think Deshaun Watson deserves very real, not only consideration, he should be considered one of the front runners right now because of what he means to his team,
mm-hmm.
the wins that they are getting, and then what his output is and the way he's played, frankly, since that horrible Carolina game. Well, he's really gotten it together.
And I'm not trying to dog Lamar Jackson. I think a lot of people do that, and they try to downplay him because he's a running quarterback, and he is. But they built an offense specifically for him that looks nothing like an NFL
congrats
offense.
Congrats to the Ravens for playing to his strengths.
But if you lined them up and you said, I'm going to take Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson to start an NFL football team 100%. Today, it's Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
And I agree with you that Deshaun Watson doesn't get a lot of love in terms of MVP, and I think the reason is, and we talked about the boring Texans game yesterday, not only are their games boring because it happened to be in London and the fans weren't into it, they play boring football for long stretches of the game. Although, you're starting to see a little bit more, I like a little bit of motion that they run in a lot of these plays with O'Brien. You know, you'll send the wing, I guess you call it the wing, whatever you want to call mm-hmm. it, kind of goes in motion a lot. They're more active offensively. I think they're more creative offensively. He certainly got the weapons. And he certainly has the arm. And he makes, like yesterday, if this were a Heisman candidacy, right? If this were college, and we're talking about a Heisman trophy, the leap over the pylon with the MJ Jumpman, that would be the Heisman moment. Deshaun doesn't get this love for multiple reasons. I'm not really a big believer in he plays in Houston, so he doesn't get love, because J.J. Watt's one of the most famous faces in the country, so I don't believe it's because he plays in Houston. I blame it on the fact he plays in the AFC South, which might have four of the most throwaway, big picture, throwaway organizations across the NFL and maybe in all of professional American sport. So people, I mean, honestly, does anybody in the world care about the Titans? Does anybody care about the Texans? Care about the Jaguars?
Outside of their region, no.
No.
And not even inside their own region.
In LA, they won't give them that love, right? Yeah, because, you know, like, the Colts, when Manning and Luck were there, got a little bit of that. This is a division people don't care about. So, and Deshaun's not putting up those gaudy numbers like he put up when he first burst onto the scene 2 years ago, where he should have beaten the Patriots. He should have beaten Seattle in Seattle. That mm-hmm. Bill O'Brien cost him those two wins. He should have won both of those. He's not doing that, but all he's done is put them in position to beat the Saints, who, in my opinion, are the best team in the NFL, and he had them in position to beat them in their place with under a minute to go. He beat the Chiefs, who everybody fawns over, with Andy Reid, back when the quarterback was healthy, and he's got them in position to win this division now. But you're right. The love is going to go to Lamar Jackson because they knocked off the Patriots. But let's be real about the Patriots. They were a paper tiger, too. Like that number of, they gave up 61 points going in. Yeah, you played the Bills. You played the Jets. People love to look at a schedule and downplay a team. Nobody wanted to downplay the Patriots schedule.
You think the Patriots are paper tigers?
No, I think they're going to go to the Super Bowl. I want to be clear. Yeah. But I'm talking about defensively. Like the idea.
I think they're good. I think they're better than they've been in the past defensively.
Are they a top five defense?
I don't. Yeah, I think so.
Who's the best defense in the NFL to you right now?
I mean, to me, when everything's going good, I still think it's probably the Chicago Bears.
It's hard.
But the Niners,
they're on the field so much but because they can't move the ball.
That's the problem. The Niners are really taking a big step forward. And then I think the Patriots, I absolutely think
that
the Patriots.
That didn't mean anything to you that they gave up 37? Now, one of them was a stupid score, but is it because it's a fluky offense they faced?
You got the scoop and score, but the other thing is, no. I just think they struggled. If they play a second game, it's going to be different. When Bill Belichick takes a look at this, what they've done offensively, he'll be more prepared to offer a different look to Lamar Jackson. It's not unusual for a quarterback who's that dynamic and explosive to exploit a team badly the first time. I think it's going to be – now, with all that said, they whipped the Patriots' ass. Like, that was an ass
And remember,
whipping.
The Patriots probably lose that by 25 if not for a fumbled punt. They got the short field.
No,
and
they
score
got help.
On one of them. They got a field goal on one of those short fields,
they got
too.
Help.
See,
they were not
paper,
the better team yesterday.
When I say paper tiger, I was hearing about great defenses of all time, and they were only giving up 7 points a game. Dude, I can come up, and I agree when the Bears can actually get some help on offense, they're good. And I know I'm a Saints homer. Saints defense, one of the best in the league, and people don't know it because they're the Saints, and you look at the final score, and you go, well, they only beat the Bears 35-26.
I forgot to mention this.
The Saints are
defense,
unreal.
The Saints defense has been
Saints
terrific.
Are great. I think if the Texans ever got healthy, they could be decent. I wouldn't put them in great. They're okay.
Yeah.
They're good enough to win with the quarterback they have.
If you can put them in the top half of the league, you'd be okay.
I'm fine with that. But you look around the league. Like, people talked about how great Denver was going to be defensively, or the Titans. Well, none of them have any offense, so their defense gets worn out. The Patriots, when I say paper tiger, I just have a hard time with people. I'm watching last night, and people are talking about them going undefeated. Well, you can't talk about a team going undefeated when the first half of your schedule was literally against the Sisters of the Poor. There wasn't one good game on that schedule. But now you get Kansas City and Mahomes, and now you get Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And you just got Lamar, who I still don't think is great, but you know it worked for what they were doing. The Patriots are beatable. And you look at the next three games for the Texans. Are the Ravens beatable? They're
yes.
beatable. Now, yeah. in their place, their defense. You know, talk about their defense. They just keep reloading it. You think, well, they're eventually going to fall off. No, they just ball out on defense. Then you got the Colts, who are beatable, although you have a hard time doing it. But when you do it, it usually happens
Zero
here.
Zero of your last three.
But it happens here. When you beat them here traditionally.
What are they more likely to do? Go 0-3 or 3-0?
0-3. So I guess maybe I'm selling my argument short.
I would say so, too.
But I would say...
You're at
they
Ravens,
could go
right?
Two and, you're at so Ravens.
You're at Ravens, home
Colts,
home,
for the next
home
two.
Pats. Yeah.
I don't like, and I you got to see who those teams are facing the previous week. What happened? Like right now, if they were facing the Ravens tomorrow or facing the Ravens this weekend, they beat them because the Ravens are riding a high. They just upset a team, and I'm a big believer in the gambling ideology that when a team comes off a huge win like that, they're due for a letdown.
Flat,
and
yeah.
So I think that could work, although that game would still be at their place, so it might change it a little bit. But when I look at that, the Patriots are gettable. The Ravens are gettable. If you win two of those, you're at worst going to finish, what, 12-4? Because that'll be your fourth loss. Now, they might sneak up and lose one they shouldn't, but at worst, you're 12-4, 11-5. That gets you in the discussion for a bye. So it's not just ridiculous to think they could, and they've got the quarterback for it. I think the offensive line's been okay. It's better than it has been historically. It's not great, but it's better than it has been. Defense is obviously a liability, and we're going to see also, it's important to note, they face Gardner Minshew this week. They face some lousy quarterbacks with that defense too. What's going to happen when you face Lamar? What's going to happen when you face Tom? What's going to happen when you face, if Brissett's healthy and you start facing better quarterbacks too?
Right.
But right now, if there are five or six teams that could end up with a bye, the two byes, the Texans are firmly implanted as one of them. I don't think that's ridiculous to say, is it?
No, I think the Texans right now, but this is going to be the litmus test.
Absolutely.
What they do over the next three games. But keep in mind now, you're going to, more than likely, Bradley Roby will be back. After the bye week.
Mm-hmm.
Laremy Tunsil will be back. Lonnie Johnson will be back. Tayshawn Gibson will be back. We'll see on Will Fuller. I don't know. But if they have a full complement of Fuller, Tunsil, and then those three defensive backs, those three DBs, let me tell you, I think that's really going to – you will know exactly who your Houston Texans are after that three-game run.
Is it possible that they could only win one of those and still be a good team? It is. It depends on how the games go.
It's possible. We'll see how the games go. But, you know, you really need to step up and outplay the Colts. If you lose again and you lose four straight to the Colts, then they've just got your number.
Correct.
You have no – there really is no other – there's no other excuses to make if you can't beat the Colts here.
Josh and Lance in for the Blitz. Trump
They're
met
calling
the
Jizz Radio. Jizz Radio.
Jizz.
Josh.
It,
Josh
in
Ennis
a show.
Zerline.
Oh, Jizz Radio. That's actually the legit one. Well, oh boy. But Trump.
That's what they're calling it, Tyler.
I like that. So Trump met the Nats. I love when Trump meets athletes and acts like he knows who they are. Well, some. One of them, a surprise one, loves Trump, I guess. We'll talk about it.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
5 o'clock hour, we'll get into Trump talking with the Nationals. I love when Trump talks with athletes because he acts like he knows them. He's clearly watched none of it. And then he tends to name drop other athletes that he's met in the past. He's fantastic. Even non-politically, because I'm not a political person. Honestly, I've never voted for anything in my life. Maybe the homecoming king, and I voted for myself as a goof. That's the extent of my voting. I don't believe in politicians. I have very little faith in any of them. So I'm not a very political person. But I love the comedy that comes from Trump in these types of situations where he kind of has to fill a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a script, but then he has to fill talking with these guys, and it gets awkward. So we'll get into that. So what's the deal with Cole? They extended a qualifying offer for
Garrett Cole.
Means nothing, though, correct?
It means it's got to be the immediate. Look, you have to do this if you want to get – it's an offer to the player that's the mean of the top 125 salaries. And there are some players where if you offer the qualifying offer – what it does is it allows you to get a compensatory pick if they leave. Mm. So for Garrett Cole, you do that, and he's clearly going to make way more than the mean, but you're going to get a compensatory pick. So all that is making sure that you get a comp pick when he leaves.
For some players, it looks good for public, too, because the average Joe will go, well, we took a shot at it, and we just failed.
Yeah,
the average Joe will.
I will say that, and you can find this. Mark Berman, I think, has this if you want to look for it, Tyler.
But Berman, some video of him Nightingale stalking. Has a lot of it, too. This year, the qualifying was $17.8 million.
I thought it was just going to be video of him stalking some athlete at the airport.
No. This is kind of stalking Jim Crane, but there's a lot of media members there. But Jim Crane actually says, we're going to make a run at... You don't buy into it. They're going to make a run at Garrett Cole.
Strasburg or Cole?
No, Cole.
No.
Why not?
Because I don't believe they're going to be a big spending team. Now, that doesn't mean they're cheap. I mean, you give $100 million to any player, you're not cheap.
What do you mean by big spending team? Like, what's your
definition? They're not the Dodgers. They're not the Yankees. They don't have the money for that. And you might say, Josh, how do you know they don't have the money? I used to interview Luno a lot, and he may not tell me the truth all the time, but you know this as someone in the media. Their television deal is awful for them financially. They don't make the money. Like, you look at deals that teams like the Dodgers, the Yankees, hell, even the Cardinals in mid-America get these hundreds of millions, billion-dollar deals for their television. The Astros don't have that money there. So I don't believe they've got the money. And another important factor, Jeff Luno came from St. Louis. St. Louis, while a smaller market, a much smaller market than here, it's kind of similar, I think, in the money they have and the kind of revenue they generate. I think they're similar. Payroll tends to be similar. I think they're close. And I think what the Astros are going to do is they're going to continue to try to be a team that finds the diamond in the rough. Like, they'll let Cole go, and they'll probably find some guy that you never thought was
any
good.
Now, that I agree with.
Brent Strom, I'm not a big fan of A.J. Hinch because I just don't believe in managers. I don't think managers in baseball matter all that much. Brent Strom, this guy goes over and you go, hey, what's his name from a couple of years ago?
Charlie Morton.
Charlie Morton was kind of an also-ran. He was in Pittsburgh a little bit, the Phillies a little bit. Nobody cared about Charlie Morton. When they signed him, I think it was in November of 16, like right when I had gotten to 790. And we go, okay, cool, $10 million, 2 years. I think it was like 14 over 2 years. Like, oh, big deal. And then he gets this huge deal afterwards because he's playing in the World Series. He's striking dudes out. His ERA is in the twos. That's Brent Strom. So they feel like that right there shows them that they can go out and get a guy who's not $250 million on the market. Mm-hmm. That's a guy who's good enough where they feel He's got the fastball that we need. He's a guy that we can turn into another Charlie Morton. Won't work forever. Didn't work in St. Louis forever. Eventually, they had to start paying Paul Goldschmidt and Osuna and guys like that. But they're going to try that. And they've already spent $100 million on Bregman, which isn't a lot. And they'll do those deals all day. Cheap deals relative to how good he is, kind of like the Braves did in with Albies and Acuna. They'll do those. I don't see them as a team that's ever going to spend $250 million on one player. That will not happen. And I think because of the fact Scherzer opted out, he's expecting over
$200 million. Should you ever sign I'm not sure that you should ever give that money.
No, because if you notice, the teams that do it tend to suck.
Yeah.
Like
they're desperate.
Tell me what the Padres did this year. Hey, Padres, you went out and got, what's his name, the shortstop that everybody coveted. They stink still. You know, you go out the Phillies. Hey, we got Bryce Harper. The team that Bryce Harper played for just won the World Series, and he's sitting at home washing his tights. So, no, I'm not a big – the good teams are the ones that spend smart money. Bregman is smart money, and that's kind of part of the indentured servitude of baseball too, where like that Bregman has no choice but to take that $100 million deal.
Where do you think the Astros ranked this year?
In payroll?
Team payroll.
Probably 8 or 9.
Eight,
and they're probably right.
Cardinals,
like
9.
The Cardinals, yeah. So, I mean, they're right Cardinals in the same 9. Area.
There are 4 teams that spent over $200 million.
4? So, that'd be the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Phillies.
Dodgers, actually. Dodgers were 170.
Really? So, the Yankees, obviously.
They trimmed a little payroll. They got
the
some
Cubs,
young.
The Cubs.
The Cubs, yes. The Dodgers have young players under team control.
That's
still
true. And then,
but the Cubs were number 1 at 211.
The
Yankees
were
number 2. Nationals were number 3.
Okay.
$204 million.
Well, it helps when you've got, even though they didn't have Harper, they have a Strasburg who's got a big deal and a Scherzer who's got a big deal. And Rendon, now this is the one that annoys me. And I make the mistake of going to Facebook a lot and people have pie in the sky hopes. The trade Correa and go out and sign Rendon. Rendon's also going to get $200 million. If you're going to spend that much money on a pitcher, you might as well get it on a position player who plays 160 games a year. So Rendon's going to get paid a lot too. And I still think they like Correa. Like, they haven't given up on him. I mean, Correa is an elite defensive shortstop. His problem is he's always hurt. If Correa were ever healthy for 160, 155 games, and maybe he won't. I think he's got the curse of marrying that gal, and I think he's cursed forever.
They're not married yet.
Well, but they're going to be. And she seems like the nicest gal, but she like got fake like veneers, I think, and now she looks like Sofia Vergara. She doesn't look like herself anymore. She's not like Josh. You wouldn't throw her out of bed. Well, no. But what I'm I would, because Correa may kick my ass. Although he seems kind of soft. Like, when you look at Correa, does he seem like a bad mofo to you? Like, Bregman has the bad mofo gene.
Bregman,
Correa seems kind of soft.
I don't think Correa swinging on you in a bar. Bregman for sure. Bregman will hit you first, and probably it's going to be a chop to the throat.
Which Houston athlete? Here's a shift in
and
direction.
Altuve. I feel like Altuve could get the red
quietly.
Ass
he's
at
like
some
a
point.
Silent assassin.
I think he's the guy that comes out of nowhere. If something's going down in a bar, and he's like right in the middle of it, and you're like, oh, I don't think I want it with
and,
this.
And you don't
guy.
Want to hit him because he's small. You're like, oh, this guy. And then that's when he kind of pounces on you.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Who was the guy today?
Rapid
that got
fire
cut,
punches
by the Browns because he was threatening to kill people.
Jermaine Whitehead.
Is there an athlete in Houston? You have to answer somebody. Okay. Who is the most likely athlete in Houston to threaten to kill somebody on social media?
Okay. Currently. Okay. So the old answer was obviously always Vernon Maxwell, because Vernon Maxwell would do that.
Yes.
Vernon Maxwell brandish guns
would,
and stop signs.
No, that would get angry at social media. So it has to be someone that's active on social
all time
media.
In Houston, if all time in Houston, it would be Vernon, who's a current. But you mean a current athlete?
Yep.
That would threaten to kill someone
who's active and sassy on social media too.
Ask the guy who doesn't have to worry about keeping a press credential.
Oh, listen,
look at this.
How often do you use a press credential?
Not that much.
So okay.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll tell you who I'm thinking.
Okay,
McCullers.
No,
McCullers is sassy on
social media. He would not threaten to kill people.
He wouldn't threaten to kill him, but he would be the closest to a guy that would get sassy and want to fight somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the guy never pitches because he's always hurt, so he sits with his little Twitter thumbs and just gets angry at people all the time.
I think Lance has got a little, he's from the Tampa area now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's ready to get down
to
something.
So you're saying deep down he's got cut-off jean shorts and a Hulk Hogan T-shirt underneath there?
If you're ready to get down, he's ready to get down.
Do you know
he's
what?
The one who threw and hit. Remember, he was the one who was the first guy who was willing to throw and dust up the, was it the Royals or the White Sox or the Rangers? One of those.
I think it was the Rangers.
Might have been the Rangers.
But see, but again, you have to answer the question. And if you want in on the phones on this, what is it? 713-780-3776?
Yeah.
Okay. Or you can do it. You're looking at Twitter over there. Like, you have to answer somebody. Like, this is not like a hardcore guy's going to fight town. Although this is the town where the Mets got into their bar brawl in 86. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there have been fights here before. If you had to pick one athlete that in town would be the most likely to go to Twitter and threaten to kill somebody or at least want to start something. To me, Lance is the only obvious answer. I don't like J.J. Watt ain't going to go to Twitter. And
no,
start,
but hold
Lance
on.
Lance loves to be in the middle of stuff. And I'm talking about McCullers. In a past life, you would have been in the middle of it. Lance McCullers wants to be right in the middle of it.
Gerald Green?
You only say that because he's got an R braided into his
hair.
No,
If he
had Michael Vick's haircut now, you'd think he was a banker.
I feel like Gerald... But see, Gerald's turned into nice guy Gerald. Like, there's not, he's so at peace in Houston. Right, what about Russell Westbrook? Russell Westbrook threatened all the Mormons.
Well, you know what?
They threatened him first, but.
Allegedly, yeah. That's right. Westbrook, he fascinates me, too, because this whole damn town hated Westbrook, and now he's here.
Look at Mark.
Hey, what does it say? What am I looking
at?
Let's
get Mark in real quick. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Lance and whoever this other guy is. I think sports bully in Houston is going to be Seth Payne.
See, here's the thing, and thank you for the call, Mark. He at least has a history. See, that's just fighting me in public. But he does, Seth, who I actually really like, has kind of a short fuse, and I think it's because he's so smart, and he is. He's an Ivy League guy.
Right, very
that
smart.
I think he has a hard time dealing with stupidity. And I think when he gets stupidity, he'll get sassy. But to me, McCullers is the answer. And people are calling, so if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. We'll look at some of the Twitter on that. We have to hear from the president. We have to hear from him talking about the Nationals, the Nats. It's good stuff. We'll have that for you. More Texans. Do you believe that the Astros would ever pay $200-plus million for a pitcher? I don't. Stay there.
ESPN 97.5.